All right. Hello, everyone. This is John Krasinski. I'm the Vikings and Timberwolves writer for The Athletic, and I am filling in as the main host of the Viking Update show this week. Our usual host, Jim Suhan, is not in town. He is in Tokyo getting acclimated, getting ready for the Olympic Games to start. And so we are proud and happy to have The Athletic's Chad Graff, the main beat writer, the head honcho of our Vikings beat, to join us here for this week's show. We got a lot to get to this week, and luckily with the timing of it, we can get to some breaking news as well on Rick Dennison, the Vikings offensive line coach, being out because of he won't take the COVID vaccine. We'll get to that in a minute. But first of all, Chad, welcome back from your vacation. Are you ready to get going now and get started? Training camp right around the corner.
Yeah, what an honor. I will say it is always weird at this sort of end of July period every year when vacation's winding down and you're looking ahead to training camp, the story ideas are flowing. It's I think, kind of like going back to school a little bit, where on the one hand, you're excited to see all your friends again. You're excited. You're kind of motivated. Like, you got your notebooks actually filed. Like, I'm really going to stay on top of it this year. And then on the other hand, it's also super daunting. I've gotten used to not going anywhere, like enjoying life, enjoying the crazy heat. And now, you know, it's back to TCO Performance Center for training camp every day, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's, you know, you do have to get back to work a little bit. You NFL guys have it pretty easy. I mean, you had a long off season, you know, and not a whole lot going on. You have some mini camps to sprinkle in here and there and the draft and all of that stuff. But like me, for everyone wanting to feel really bad about me, I mean, you had the season end, then we had the finals, and now next week already we have the draft, and then we have free agency, and then training camps in September. So please feel bad for me. You've been well rested. I don't know what the heck I'm going to do with myself, but it's time to get rolling. So,
I think they always say that the Timberwolves are one of the most exhausting beats, just because of those playoff runs that you have to cover year in and year out.
Absolutely. They go, it just never stops for them. No question about it. But, you know, when we look at these last couple of weeks, I'll be honest, and probably a lot of the listeners will look at it and say, man, these episodes have been a little bit dry. There has not been a whole lot to get to in the little dog days of July right before camp. We have a lot to get to today. Chad, first starting off, let's get right into it. Courtney Cronin from ESPN just broke the news a little while ago. We're recording this on Friday afternoon, that Vikings offensive line coach Rick Dennison, a really important part of their whole operation, not just coaching offensive line, but running game, like all of the things that lead into it, will not be with the team this year because he refuses to get the COVID-19 vaccination. We have seen over the last few days with the league kind of putting out these memos about how they're going to try and really force the players' hands as much as possible to get vaccinated so that they can keep the season moving with some of the variants going around. But this is a huge, huge step when you're firing essentially a coach on your team, and an important one at that, because he won't get the vaccine.
So this essentially was not the Vikings' choice, not Mike Zimmer's choice or Rick Spielman's choice. They were not the ones who went to Rick Dennison and said, take this or get out. For the NFL this season, everybody in tier one, which essentially is anybody who works with players, so it could be front office members like Rob Brzezinski or Rick Spielman, as well as trainers and every coach, basically, position coaches, Mike Zimmer, on down the list, every tier one member has to be vaccinated. And so obviously Rick Dennison's role would fall into tier one. So if he was not going to take the vaccines, his two options were either don't have a job or, and I don't think that this ever was on the table, but, you know, the only other way he could have done it was to essentially coach from Zoom, not be on the field with the players. And of course, Mike Zimmer would never allow that. And I don't even think Rick Dennison would want to. So this is, you know, not because Mike Zimmer sent out a mandate to every Vikings coach, but because the NFL sent out that mandate and said, if you want to be in tier one, you must take this. So part of me actually thinks that this isn't the most surprising thing, given the vaccine hesitancy that exists, for better or worse, that we've gotten to this point where one individual, one assistant coach has decided not to take it. And yet, on the other hand, This is a very big deal for the Vikings. Rick Dennison not only had a big role within the Vikings staff, he was a former offensive coordinator, a close confidant of Gary Kubiak, somebody Clint Kubiak could have leaned on. One of the only guys on the offensive staff, I think the only guy on the offensive staff who has called plays before. I think he could have been a good sounding board for Clint Kubiak. He, you know, Gary Kubiak talked a lot about how he helped Gary actually draw up plays and play actions off of the running game. And now Clint Kubiak doesn't have that, and the Vikings are left to kind of scramble, you know, what is probably the second most important position coach on the staff, only behind quarterback coach. So this is a pretty big deal for the Vikings, less than a week away from training camp.
Yeah, and this almost feels like, Chad, you know, because you're right. I mean, the NFL has put these protocols in place, and I do get the sense, both from, you see, the kind of the players who have responded kind of forcefully about it and are protesting some of the restrictions and protocols that are being put in place for the players. But also, I get the sense that there was maybe a feeling out there among some that, okay, you say that this is going to be the consequence, but you're not really going to enforce it. Like, I'm going to play a game of chicken with you, and I'm going to force your hand to do this. And I can't say this for sure, but I would venture to guess that Rick Dennison is really surprised right now that it did get this far, that they did actually go through with the threat of, you know what, if you don't get this vaccine, you're a tier one employee, you're a member of this organization, you are not going to be on this team. I think that it's reasonable to assume that he said, we'll find a way around this. There's no way that I'm going to get cut loose because of this. And lo and behold, here he is.
And, you know, he was close with Mike Zimmer. I'm sure he probably thought that was going to play a role in it. But, you know, here we are where the Vikings are reporting to training camp on Tuesday. This news is coming out Friday afternoon. So even if somehow, you know, he were to get, you know, let's say Johnson & Johnson, where only one shot is required, the NFL doesn't consider you fully vaccinated until some time has passed since that vaccine. So it has gotten to the point where, with the NFL not budging on its rules, even if he had gotten Johnson & Johnson today, Friday, he wouldn't have been able to be on the field with the offensive line for roughly the first 10 days of training camp, which is a very big deal. Let's not forget, this offensive line is projected to have two rookie starters.
Yeah.
We'll see if that actually happens, and we can get into that. Does Christian Darrisaw come back from this injury and, you know, start week one as a rookie at left tackle, the most important position on the line? But this is, you know... We know all about the Vikings' woes and histories on the offensive line. And once again, this is a massive year for that group.
That to me is the real mind-blowing thing here, Chad, is that we have looked and talked ad nauseum about how important it has been for this team, if it wants to take a step and become more of a contender, that the offensive line just has to get better. The Vikings did make some investments, did make some changes in that group going into this year. But because of all of that, they need some sort of continuity. They need some sort of clear voice. And they're not getting that all of a sudden. And, you know, because Rick Dennison was there earlier in the June and July the OTAs, you know, that he was in with the mini camp. So to all of a sudden throw all of this up in the air right before training camp, and they hired a guy from Auburn to come in to help out too, it just does not bode well for a group that is going through a lot of change, that is going to be such a key part of what they are doing going forward here.
Especially, I think, when you take a step back and look at what the Vikings did this offseason, it was all centered around, you know, this is Mike Zimmer's team. It was centered around making that defense that was so bad a year ago. How do we completely revamp that? So you look at what they did with the defensive line, you look at what they did in the secondary. That is where they allocated basically all of their space, even if it meant that they had to get rid of Riley Reiff, even if it meant that they couldn't sign a guard to take Dakota Dozier's place. Like, they looked at it and said, we are going to help the defense, even if it comes at the cost of the offensive line. And now for that to be the position that is, sort of thrown up in the air with a new position coach and a new run game coordinator just days away from training camp. I think that's a legitimate story and you know, probably a concerning one. Their new assistant offensive line coach hasn't even met the players and trainee. They're reporting in 3 days. So this is, you know, far from an ideal situation for Mike Zimmer.
We will get to a few more of the elements of this. We'll also look at the latest turns in the Packer drama here. But first, we want to hear from two great sponsors who've been with us for a long time, Star Bank and Pizza Barn in Princeton. Thanks for your support.
Have you tried to call your bank lately? Do you bank locally? Star Bank is our bank at the Talk North Podcast Network. They're a family-owned local bank with branches across central and west central Minnesota. With Star Bank, you get all the bells and whistles you would expect from a bank these days, but they have no 800 number, no call center, and no confusing phone queue. You can even request your banker's cell phone number. That's how they operate. Star Bank is a true Minnesota family-run business. Check them out at starbank.net. Star Bank is a member FDIC and equal housing lender. Also, check out the John Krasinski show at talknorth.com. That is our NBA and Wolves show. Good episode this week, if I do say so myself. We also want to thank Pizza Barn, Pizza Barn in Princeton, pizzabarnprinceton.com. Jody Stay runs a community-oriented, family-oriented family business in Princeton, and she now has a pizza truck, a food truck, with more than pizza. My wife loved the cheesecake. They have all kinds of cool stuff. So check them out, pizzabarinprinceton.com. Check out the menu, delivery, takeout. If you're ever in the Northwest Metro, you're not far away from them, right off 169. And now they have a food truck. You can hire the food truck to come to your event, to your neighborhood, whatever you want. And we just highly recommend the food and the people at Pizza Barn Princeton.com.
Okay, now we're back from that. And Chad, I think where we left off was something that is key to it as well that you hit on earlier. But not only do you have this offensive line in flux, not only do you have kind of a group that is still coming together and that has not been ignored, but certainly not prioritized the way that the defense has been over the offseason, but you also have a first-time offensive coordinator who hasn't called plays, and he has a defensive-minded head coach. So Clint Kubiak is almost getting more and more put on an island here, and that is going to be a very interesting thing to see how he handles all of those responsibilities, because it does not seem like the most tranquil place for a young coordinator to try and get his legs and figure things out.
For sure. Welcome to calling plays for the first time and running an offense for the first time where, as you mentioned, the head coach is all about the defense, but will, publicly share his feelings about any, any missteps that you may make. And you've got two very good wide receivers, but you're coaching a team where one of the best wide receivers openly left because of the way that plays were called a couple years ago. It's a really tough situation, I think, for Clint Kubiak. And as I was spending some time earlier this week just thinking about training camp and storylines, I think one of the really under-discussed ones, even before Rick Dennison's departure, was the offensive line. I think a lot of people, myself included at various points, just kind of assumed that this offensive line was either going to get better or not be any worse, in part because they weren't very good last year, and also because you spent your first round pick on a left tackle, you spent a third round pick on a guard who you're expecting to play right away. But if you just, don't even go through worst case scenario, just go through a completely plausible scenario. Start with Christian Darrisaw. Everybody had him as a first round pick, but there were also a lot of scouts who said he's raw and he's got a little developing to do. Add to that he had offseason surgery and didn't partake in any mini camp. And the guy that I think you're penciling in at left tackle, the most important position, hasn't, been on an NFL field for a snap yet. And training camp is a few days away. I think that is at least a little bit concerning. And then you look at the rest of the line, like Garrett Bradbury has to take another big step. This is, I think, the fourth year or third year in a row that we've said that. Ezra Cleveland is moving to a new position that he's never played. At right guard, I think you really cross your fingers that Wyatt Davis can come in and play well, because if not, Dakota Dozier is your answer. And we saw how things went there. So I just am not ready to say that this offensive line is definitely going to be better than last year's. And let's face it, last year's was a bit of a problem.
It was a bit of a problem. And then just also the overall dynamics, Chad, because for all of Mike Zimmer's tenure here, almost, it has been, he has always, and I give him credit for this because he knows that he butters his bread on the defensive side. That's where he wants to spend most of his time. So because of that, he has usually generally had a very experienced offensive mind that has been through the wars, probably knows kind of how to deal with Zimmer's personality quirks, if we want to be kind about it, to, you know, the way that he operates. I mean, it was Norv Turner, Tony Sperano, Pat Shurmur, like Gary Kubiak was there even when Stefanski was calling the shots as a young offensive coordinator. Gary Kubiak was there as sort of this sage, you know, crusty old offensive guy that I think really probably related well to Zim. Dennison was probably going to be somewhat of that role for Clint Kubiak. And now you look at it and you think, whoo, boy, what can they do, I guess, to kind of establish another, you know, little layer of trust for Zimmer so that if he gets hot about how the offense is doing, you know, that's a lot for a very young offensive coordinator to have to deal with. The off the top of the head utterances after a game, as Zimmer is always prone to do, let alone whatever he's saying behind the scenes when he's crabby if something isn't going well. That's a lot for a young coordinator to handle. Maybe Clint can do it. Maybe it'll be great. But it sure seems like he could use someone else to be that shield there. Is there anyone else on the staff who you think can assume that role and help with that?
I don't know. You look at quarterback coach Andrew Janoco, first year in that role. You look at wide
still
receiver
young.
Coach Keenan McCardle, first year in that role with the Vikings. Brian Perriani, I guess, could be that guy, but man,
not the same.
And when you look at the offensive staff, it's a lot of young guys, innovative minds, which I think is super exciting for a lot of fans. But I also think when you look at Mike Zimmer's track record, it can kind of go one of two ways. It can either go the John DeFilippo route where he's, you know, in New England blasting the offense for the play calls and not running against some of the defensive fronts that they had. Or it can, you know, if Clint Kubiak is as stoic as Kevin Stefanski was and as creative with the offense, it can go the other way. But I certainly think it's fair to say that Clint Kubiak already had a very difficult job coming into this year, and it just got that much more difficult. On the flip side, he has tons and tons of talent, which I think is to the Vikings' credit, especially after spending all of the time, money, resources that they did on the defensive side. But boy, you really better hope that, I think from his perspective, that you get off to a hot start too. I know it's often an oversimplification to talk about the importance of a hot start, but boy, as a first-year coordinator without a lot of confidence on the offensive staff, I really think that week one at Cincinnati and week two at Arizona, you want to come out and put up a lot of points and just kind of take a deep breath after that.
We're talking with Chad Graff, the Athletics beat writer extraordinaire for the Vikings. Teams with Arif Hassan to do great work for us with there, and I'll chip in every once in a while here for the Purple as well. When you look at what this means for the players, Chad, I mean, there are some players on this roster that are openly have not had the vaccine. We don't know if that will change given like the emphatic nature with which the NFL posted some of its protocols and is really trying to kind of get them to come around on the idea of being vaccinated. You know, one of the things that said is if a game has to be canceled because of unvaccinated players with the coronavirus, that team will forfeit that game, or is at least eligible to forfeit that game. Those are some pretty serious ramifications for this. The Vikings have some of these guys who have said or just have not yet wanted to get the vaccine. What do you think it means for them? Who are you watching closely here in the early days of training camp to see if things have, if their mind has been changed at all by some of the things that are being put in place.
Yeah. So just a refresher, the protocols that the NFL has put out there, highly incentivize teams to have at least 85% of the roster fully vaccinated. Once you've hit that point, you can basically go back to life as normal, masks off, gather in the cafeteria, do all of the things that are fun for players on the team. You can hang out in the locker room. You can do all of the things that they could not do a year ago. So there are lots of incentives for them to get to 85%. Now, the league recognized at the beginning of July that they were nowhere near close to that. I think there were only three or four teams at the time who had reached that point. So they made a big, big push to get as many players vaccinated as possible in the month of July. So I think the NFLPA sent out that about 80% of players have had at least one shot. So while they may not be fully vaccinated right now or considered fully vaccinated at the start of training camp, the expectation is most of these teams, I think it's about half right now, but most of these teams will have 85% of the roster fully vaccinated. You know, by the time the first preseason game rolls around and life can kind of be normal. I think coaches are the big place that these players can go where, you know, the other place that they'll get incentives is from the coaches. The coaches want life back to normal where they can gather and have their staff with the players all the time and not have rules about what size rooms they can be in or who can be in those rooms. So it'll be interesting to hear what Mike Zimmer says, if he reveals whether or not the Vikings have hit 85% or are, you know, on path to hit 85%. The only other potential wrinkle in this is, you know, I think that you can envision a scenario where if a team was at, say, like 84% vaccinated and they're looking at trying to make their 53, you might give preference to one vaccinated player right over someone who's not. The potential problem for the Vikings is that those who have either been skeptical about the vaccine or who have at least not wanted to delve into the topic are some of their most prominent players, including Kirk Cousins, Harrison Smith, Adam Thielen. So we'll see. We don't know if they've been vaccinated. We don't know if the Vikings are at 85%, but it'll be something to follow in the early days of training camp. And I know some people kind of roll their eyes at that and say, I don't care if my favorite player is vaccinated. I just want to watch the games on Sunday. And that's fine. But let's not ignore the point where your favorite players, your favorite team, get an advantage because of the way that the NFL rules are set if 85% of the roster is fully vaccinated.
Yeah, and then, you know, that's kind of what we're seeing now. And I think what the NFL is trying to do is something that has not been able to be done in normal society in terms of just really flexing its muscle and saying, look, I don't care if you do not believe in vaccinations. I don't, you know, and they have said that if you can document a religious or a medical reason for not getting it, that will be given consideration. But otherwise, if you are just against the idea, if there are certain ideological things you have, if it's a political issue, whatever it is, they don't care. Like you either do it or there's going to be hardcore ramifications. And so what they're trying to do is just get their arms around this issue to a degree that has not been able to be done in regular society, which is one of the reasons that we are still continuing to deal with the variants, that we're still continuing to deal with some, you know, cities, you know, having to bring mask mandates back and all of those things.
Well, and for all of the skeptics and criticism for the NFL's rules and the way that it has essentially, I don't even want to say essentially, forced players to get the vaccine, because 14% of the roster can still be unvaccinated and they get all of the same advantages as a team with 100%. But look at the WNBA. The WNBA has something like 99% vaccinations across both players, staff, coaches, and their season is going on like perfectly normal. They have not had any outbreaks. That is what the NFL is aspiring to. They don't want this to be a discussion like it was last year when Adam Thielen enters the COVID protocol on Wednesday and, you know, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? It reaches everything from like ESPN's fantasy show, because you got to worry about your fantasy team, and it reaches the local newspapers and it reaches, you know, ESPN's regular program. It was a story in every facet of NFL coverage last year. that is what they want to avoid. They just want to have a perfectly normal season. And their doctors have identified the vaccine as the best route for that goal.
Well, let's get away from the COVID thing for just a little bit to the relief of Vikings fans going forward. We'll do two things to wrap up the podcast here, Chad Graff. One is they start training camp next week. They report on Tuesday. They're going to get going. What are a couple of things that you are looking for early that are going to start to kind of put into your mind exactly what kind of potential that they have?
Well, a few things. I think first and foremost, I want to see what the defense looks like. I think we all expect that they're going to be a lot better, especially on the defensive line, when you just look at some of the names that they have. Michael Pierce being back, though he'll start with an injury. Dalvin Tomlinson, Sheldon Richardson, Danielle Hunter, Stephen Weatherly comes in. Like, this is very different. Patrick Peterson, Xavier Woods. This is a very different looking defense. And so I think the widespread assumption is that because of those additions and because of Mike Zimmer's prowess on that side of the ball, that it will be a much better unit. But at the same time, Zimmer often teaches some complex principles on the defensive side that he has said in the past take some time to understand. One of the things that he bemoaned last year, amid all of the COVID protocols and the cancellation of OTAs and minicamps and things like that, where he didn't get to work with the players as much, and he felt like it took time, took additional time for the secondary and for just the defense as a whole to catch on. I think you saw that where in the middle of last season, you know, the Saints game notwithstanding and some of the early struggles, of course, notwithstanding, but there was a stretch in the middle of the season where they actually did improve quite a bit. And just the fact that they finished as kind of a mediocre defense, considering that defensive line was among the worst in the NFL and some of the cornerbacks that they were playing, it could have been a lot uglier. So the defense is number one, first and foremost, what I'll be watching. The defense is typically ahead of the offense early on in training camp. It's kind of the same way that pitchers are a little bit ahead of hitters at the start of spring training. So I want to see what the secondary looked like, and I want to see what the defensive line looks like. But when you flip to the other side of the ball, the other thing that I want to look at and look for is, what in the world do the Vikings do behind Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen? I think it's so awesome, and to their great credit, that they moved on from Stephon Diggs and still boast maybe the best wide receiver duo in the NFL. I think that Justin Jefferson, you know, has already established himself as a top 10 wide receiver, and with another big year could, you know, join the argument for maybe the best wide receiver in all of the NFL, or at least in the top three. But what happens if Jefferson gets hurt? What happens if Thielen gets hurt? You just don't have a lot of sure things. Like, I don't think that there's a player behind those two on the depth chart that has a better than 60% chance of being on the roster. Like, Chad Beebe, maybe the number three wide receiver, but also can't maybe doesn't make the roster. Like, yeah. BC Johnson, maybe the number three wide receiver, maybe doesn't make the roster. There are a ton of questions to the point where they're flying in Dede Westbrook today for a tryout. They're still looking to fill holes at that wide receiver group. I don't think wide receiver three is of the utmost importance to the Vikings, given the style that they play when Thielen and Jefferson are hurt. But man, there is such a significant drop-off that you would be looking at if one of those two guys were hurt, to the point where if Adam Thielen gets hurt, whoever you're playing that week, I think that they just say, hey, safety, corner, you guys are on Jefferson. Make BC Johnson beat us. Make KJ Osborne beat us. And I think the defense would take their chances with that.
Or if Thielen gets COVID. Like, if he's not if he's not vaccinated and gets COVID and is out for 3 weeks or whatever it is, like, that's another thing. Like, I mean, to bring it all back to this. Like, gosh. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? But finally, Chad, for a little bit of respite from some of the concerns, guess what? The Vikings aren't the only team with problems in the NFC North. Aaron Rodgers, we know the situation there with the Packers and how that is coming to a head. Now it looks like they also have problems with Davante Adams, who it seems like is looking around and saying, man, if Aaron Rodgers ain't going to be here, I don't want to be here. And so maybe there's a chance that the Vikings kind of move into pole position in the NFC North simply by default if the Packers crumble to the way that it looks like. There are at least cracks in the foundation. We'll see if it holds up going into training camp here.
The first thing that I did after seeing that report was hop over to BetMGM, which has an affiliate with The Athletic, and just look, like, what are the odds of who's going to win the NFC North? I thought actually it was going to be a lot closer. They still have the Packers at heavy favorites, minus 120, Vikings at plus 250. That surprised me a little bit. Like, I don't know what indication has come out that Aaron Rodgers is going to play this season. Maybe he has a change of heart after week four. If, you know, Jordan Love is looking good and he says, well, hang on, I'm going to come back and put an end to this or something. But I just have a hard time seeing, and I'm saying this without having any additional insight into the situation other than what we've read and what's been reported, but I just have a hard time thinking that Aaron Rodgers is going to do everything that has occurred for the last 4 months only to, in early August, be like, all right, you guys had me. I'm not going to be the Jeopardy host. I'm coming back. Here we go. And if Aaron Rodgers isn't the starting quarterback, I don't know. The Vikings are the favorites in my mind at that point. We'll see if Vegas and the casinos agree, but I think the Vikings would have to be the favorites. And then furthermore, can you just imagine the delight of Vikings fans if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play? Devontae Adams is frustrated. Like, Jordan Love's airmailing passes. He's looking around like, I had the MVP throwing me passes a year ago. I was the best wide receiver in football, and now I've got this guy throwing to me. I think Vikings fans are probably smart enough, given the last two quarterbacks in Green Bay, to gloat just yet. But boy, you know, I think it's been a pretty good offseason for the Vikings. Just, you know, if nothing else, even if they hadn't made the improvements that they have on the defensive side, just to see some cracks in the foundation out east over in Green Bay, I think that's got to bring some smiles to some Vikings fans.
Yeah, I think it's clear, and I don't know that I even necessarily blame Vikings fans, but there is a segment of purple out there that I believe gets more excited at the downfalls of Green Bay, whether it's off the field drama like they're dealing with now or losses in the NFC title game or things then when their team wins. And I think, you know, I think that's just it. And so if that is the case, they are having a really good time right now.
Well, it's funny too, just because I think that section of the fan base really took a sigh of relief once Danielle Hunter agreed to his new deal. Cause it was funny just seeing, you know, fans going back and forth and stuff on Twitter and wherever else. So, you know, look at how did you guys botch Aaron Rodgers? You got the MVP and the best quarterback, and they come back, well, you know, your star defensive end isn't too happy. So as soon as Hunter signed, it was okay, now we can go back to mocking Green Bay, laughing at them, looking at their situation. We'll see how it plays out. Let me ask you, what percent chance, and of course we're speculating and having some fun here, but what percent chance do you think Aaron Rodgers takes a single snap for the Packers this season?
So like that, so I've waffled a little bit, but part of the thing that, and let's going back to the odds from Vegas, that why they remain high is that it just seems like Vegas is convinced that they don't, or that Vegas does not believe that Aaron Rodgers will take this full on Jimmy Butler. I'm getting out of here come hell or high water, and I'm going to burn the place down if I don't. And so I guess, like, while I have been incredibly intrigued by this, the ups and the downs and like the trying to read the tea leaves, and boy, it really looks like this is not going to happen, that Aaron Rodgers is definitely wants out and he's going to force it, I guess I'm still just in that mind of I'll believe it when I see it. Like, I'll believe that Aaron Rodgers is not the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers when he gets traded or when he holds out week one and does not show up. And so that's, I guess that's where I'm at, even though it may discount like the stubbornness of Aaron Rodgers and how much he's going to kind of take this, how far he's going to take this. But I still think that he does really look at things like legacy and things like climbing the charts of all the statistics and all of those things. And so if he is maybe somewhat assured of, hey, just play this year, then we'll trade you after the season, maybe that will be enough. I I don't know that I see him sitting out this year, or certainly sitting out the first few weeks to really try and force something. Do you?
I don't know. I kind of do. I guess yeah. I have two final thoughts on this. One is I love the Jimmy Butler comp, and it made me think of like a potential practice of Aaron Rodgers taking all of those scrub wide receivers that he's hated down the field.
He's played them with them all year. For his whole career, he's had scrub wide receivers in the NFC like, title game, not just in practice.
This. I know how to do this.
Yeah, right.
And then the other thing is I don't know that we'd ever get the truth out of Mike Zimmer, but I would love to have been a fly on the wall for however Mike Zimmer found out when the news was first being reported, I think by Paul Allen of KFAN, that Aaron Rodgers was unhappy and there was a chance that he'd never play for the Packers again. Like just to picture Mike Zimmer grinding over some tape or something and his phone buzzes and I don't even know how he would have found out or who would be the person to call him or if he's got some unknown burner Twitter account and he's scrolling and like sees Ian Rappaport's tweet or something just to see like the pause and kind of slight smile and picturing like the Grinch when the Grinch first kind of gets like a slight smile. Okay. Maybe this can happen. There's nobody who wants to see Aaron Rodgers leave Green Bay more than Mike Zimmer.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it'll be fun. We're going to start to see it this week. I mean, it's coming right around the corner. If he doesn't show up at camp, oh boy, it's going to get even more interesting. But Chad Graff from The Athletic, oh, go ahead.
You know how rational Packers fans are. Not that you know, not that anybody around here is the most rational person in the world, but Packers fans especially. I just can't wait for like that first training camp day when the tweets come out of, you know, Jordan Love today was 4 for 13 with 3 interceptions and just watching the fan base in the state of Wisconsin completely melt down over what has happened.
But and they'll have to walk that line because like they're going to be melting down, it, presuming that Jordan Love does not perform well. But also like I think some of them are turning on Hollywood Rodgers. Like I he is not Favre. He is not the everyman blue collar. I mean, I know there was that photo of him in the back of a truck getting beers or whatever, but like it's a little different vibe, I think. And so maybe the worm is turning on Aaron a little bit there and it'll get a little bit ugly for him, even if he does come back. But the first touchdown he throws, it'll all be forgotten. So
yeah, he's Hollywood Rodgers up until they start 1-4 and then really want him back.
Yep. Well, Chad Graff from The Athletic, thanks so much for joining me. I can't wait to read your coverage and Arif Hassan's coverage next week as we get rolling for Vikings training camp. Also like to thank Pizza Barn in Princeton and Star Bank for their support of the show. This has been the Viking Update Show. I'm John Krasinski with The Athletic, and we will be back next week.